everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 472. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, Android-related stuff, and the Nintendo Switch here lately. I am your host, Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and joining me this week, the people you're really here to see, the door-to-door geek, door-to-door-to-door-to-door, Mr. Steve McLaughlin and Eric, the bearded one, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. What's going on? All right. Well, I'm going to say
lose him?
Huh?
Oh, he was just busy. Okay.
I would say good to see you back, Andor.
See you
I
back.
Hope you guys had a peaceful weekend off. I totally forgot that we weren't doing a show, so I was down here slaving away at it, and then after a while, I'm like, Dor, you are on vacation, aren't you? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, yeah, okay, well, sorry, all those people I dissed that night, but they'll get over it. Don't try on a Thursday.
They will.
Don't even try.
Yeah, they will. I'll say, Mark, it's good to see your front. Looking forward to Geek Ramp being back in full stride, up to date episodes being released here again. When we drove down to Kissimmee, and I call it Kissimmee to make the locals down there upset. It's Orlando, Florida. Let's get it right.
Kissimmee?
Walt Disney World. It's actually pronounced differently, but I'm from Maryland, so I can't
Kissimmee,
pronounce it.
Kissimmee, St. Cloud? Is that the same as
whatever.
Orlando?
I don't know. Whatever. Huh. We drove to Disney, and as soon as I passed up exit 1 in South Carolina and entered Georgia, I turned about 78 degrees to my right and waved. So I knew Mark was over there that direction.
I felt a disturbance in the force, as if thousands of souls had cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced.
Yes, and I was exhausted. That was about, I would say, 8 hours in to our drive, and then we got down to Savannah, stayed at Super 8 or something. It was like $80 a night or $60 a night, whatever. Stayed the night there, then got up in the morning on Monday and went the rest of the way down to Disney.
I stayed in one of those
my arms tired.
Super cheap hotels once that it was so small you couldn't open the bathroom door. It hit the toilet. So you had to like step in, step over the toilet, and then close the bathroom door.
Nice.
Class.
This was definitely a cheap hotel, but every morning they had at least some manner of a hot breakfast. The kids liked the waffles. My youngest loved the fact you're going to take this liquid and you're going to pour it in there and then you're going to flip it over and you're making waffles. He just thought that was amazing.
Yeah, the Belgian waffle maker's awesome.
Yeah, I thought about buying one of those once, and then I realized that they were $9 million. And so,
If you Black Friday this year, they were all over the place for cheap, man. This was
were good ones like that. I mean, ones I've seen, but not a good one like the flip over kind.
Well, no, these were flip over kinds, but they weren't. Okay. I'm sure they weren't the bun brand or whatever they have at a chain hotel. But
I'd probably have to add an extra circuit to my kitchen to run one of those things.
They were the flip over ones, though.
So I was away a week. I watched all my money being frivolously thrown away, as some would say. The wife had fun, the kids had fun, so I guess no matter what, it was worth it. I got a mild case of food poisoning before from that place in Savannah. I stopped at Cheddar's.
Okay.
And I got the blackened redfish with the crab sauce on top of it. And it tasted good enough, I might actually do it again.
You tried to be healthy.
It was worth the price, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So this was your first time to Disney?
Oh, no. Me, my like 12th
first time this month.
Yeah, I've been there. As a kid, I know we went every bit of like 7 times or so. And with my kids, I mean, and here's the thing. Talk about privileged. Okay, this is the class, and I told my son, you have no idea how privileged you are. There are so many kids in this country who never go to Disney of any magnitude. This is your third trip you're 12 years old. This is your third trip to Disney. You have no idea how blessed you are. He said, I think I do, Dad. I talked to kids in school, and like more than half of them said, well, we've been to Ocean City. And he like turned to him and said, that's no Disney.
I've never been to Disney, nor has anyone in my family.
Yeah, my family, it's like maybe a twice in a lifetime thing. We went once when we first moved to Georgia, because it's pretty much in our backyard now. When we were in Texas, it was 30 hours on the road. So we went the first fall I was in Georgia. I felt I owed it to my kids. You know, if I'm going to uproot them and move them across country, at least they can go see a mouse. But they probably won't go again, you know, maybe when the youngest one is a teen, and they're old enough to experience it with more adult eyes. But yeah, it's not a not a dozen time experience in my family.
I
don't know what I'm missing.
We were in. Oh, you're missing everything.
It's like Branson, Eric. Missouri. I really don't want to go there.
I love Branson, Missouri.
No, Eric, it's not like that. It's like never going to a steak restaurant in your life and only going to Sizzlers and Denny's and ordering steak. You have no idea what you're missing. And when you go there, you're not going to want to go to a lot of other places.
See, I don't go to Great America or Six Flags or anything as it is. It's just...
Well, that's the thing. No, Disney, here's the thing. If you want thrill rides, you don't go to Disney.
Oh.
If you want crazy roller coasters, you don't go to Disney. Disney is family generic fun. 80% of the rides, I mean, literally, you could take an infant on or a 112-year-old person on with no fear of anything bad happening. That's how ginger and light they are. Most of the rides ain't really rides. They're more like showcases kind of thing. But I'll say this. We are going to have to go back, okay? Because in Hollywood Studios, the stunt track past Toy Story Mania and all the way around to the Italian place by the Muppet Theater is under construction. They're making Toy Story Land. And then over back by the Tower of Terror and the Rockin' Roller Coaster is being constructed as well, where it's going to be an all Star Wars land. So we already know we have to come back. It's just the only question is when. And my wife is finally convinced to never again go to Disney in June or July.
It's too hot?
Well, the first day it rained, which I kept telling the kids, look, this is the best you're going to have it. Enjoy it. It's only water. Keep walking. Don't worry about it. You know, these are short lines. It's just water. And trust me, I said, when it stops raining, you're going to dry off in 30 seconds because it's so hot. By the third day, it was, you know, kill you kind of heat kind of thing. So the wife is convinced now we're never coming again in the middle of summer because she kept not wanting to take the kids out of school. Now she said, I'm perfectly content with taking the kids out of school.
Don't go Christmas either. Good.
Well, she's thinking Christmas. Yeah. I told her, I said, like the beginning of December, yes. Christmas, if you have a suicide wish, yes.
Yeah, Disney, what my experience was, again, and I've only been once with my kids, it was, as an adult eye, it was nice to, you know, sort of borrow my children's wonder for a while as they looked at the amazing things. Because, you know, when you grow up, you lose your wonder. That's one of the things I like about geeks, is geeks tend to hold on to our wonder a little longer.
Yeah.
But as I'm looking around, I'm thinking, this is a giant store. This is a retail experience. I just walked into a million-acre mall. That happens to have characters.
And here's the thing. It's a million-acre elevated mall. Because when you're walking around, you're thinking you're on the ground.
Right.
You're not. You're at least one story off the ground, but you don't even know it. Because all the cast, all the crew, all the stock, all the inventory, all the maintenance, everything is done underground, and you don't even know.
Yeah,
I
had a presentation from a guy who actually got to go under there, and he took some pictures and got to show them. And he's like one of the only people who has permission to show these pictures, and one of the few people who didn't work for Disney who got to go there. He owns a minor league ball team, and he's done nothing before he started this ball team. He studied Disney for like 4 years straight, everything they do, and he's incorporating it into his minor league stadium.
Nice.
I'm gonna do a DDD all a DDG all about what my feelings on the Disney Corporation itself, and you might be shocked because it's nothing like what I've been saying so far. Be prepared as an employee of that company to be treated like you're in Nazi Germany. Is all I'm gonna say.
Did you see it crying, because, Cinderella?
Because you do one thing wrong in that company, you are blacklisted for life. You are dead to them. You are gone. You do not exist. There's no such thing as a second chance. We stayed at the, not Continental, not Centennial, Contemporary, which was the original building with the train going through it, the tram going through it. The wife is now hooked. She says we're never staying anyplace else again. We had access to this 12th floor balcony, bottles of liquor, bottles of beer, bottles of wine, sitting out, drink as much as you want for free. Everything in that place costs a fortune. A chicken nugget meal costs $12. Okay. Everything costs a fortune. So when you're in a place and they're giving you top shelf liquor and beer and wine, you're in a special place.
It's only $685 a night, but everything's free.
Yeah.
It was not cheap, but the room was literally square footage wise, 3/4 of my house.
Wow.
Or more.
Nice. So sweet, separate bedrooms and stuff.
Yes.
Nice.
You just cut your arteries open and we're bleeding money.
Oh, I know. But it made the kids happy, so it's worth it, right? That's what I keep telling myself.
So I haven't seen crying. Haven't seen you guys in a couple of weeks, and before we get on with the apps, and yes, listener, we will get on with the apps in a show called Android App Addicts. I just got to say two things. Dor, you're looking svelte there, man. You've definitely slimmed down, and Eric sure. Grizzly Adams would be proud.
Hey, I did use the chainsaw last week, or 2 weeks ago now. Cut up some wood.
Good man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a requirement when you got this beard. If you don't use a chainsaw and you got this beard, I don't know how to ride a skateboard, so you got to do
I've been trimming mine up to sort of, you know, keep it under control, but you've inspired me. I'm going to throw my razor away. I've not touched
it with a razor since I started this exhibition. I'm not doing anything to it. I tried to go to the barber who started this and signed me up for the thing, and she was on vacation till this Monday. I haven't been back there yet, but I need some advice on if she thinks I should do something with it or just keep going. I almost feel bad going to her because she's one of the judges of the thing, and I don't want to get like a foot in the door and the judge. You know, I don't want to, be biased.
And you want to be a politician?
I want to get my hair cut, though. That's the thing. And it's like, well, if I'm gonna go get my hair cut, I might as well go to her and she can.
See, if I don't trim my sides, it turns into like the Wolverine mutton chops. So
I keep it brushed. I got the oils and the balms going. You know, I smell like almost like pepper all the time.
And I can't think of a better way to start the show than Eric Smells Like Pepper. That's the title, Dor. Write that down.
Eric Smells Like Pepper. Eric Smells Like Pepper.
Any new hardware purchases that we need to talk about?
Do you have anything, Eric?
I've got something I haven't received yet that I ordered.
Oh.
Does that count?
A new phone.
No.
Well, sure, why not?
So my first app.
That's not any hardware you ordered.
It's that cool that you have to have an app with the hardware for it to work.
Buckle in, folks. Now I'll open the chat 20 minutes late.
All right, I got the chat open and the link's there. So, yeah, don't be afraid by the name of this. It's called Deeper, and it's an app that goes along with a piece of hardware I bought. But it's nothing like you might think. It's actually a fishing device.
I was going with Deep Fat Fryer. That's where I was going.
Oh, that would have been good, too. So what Deeper is a round plastic ball with a sonar built inside of it. And usually on a fish finder, it's kind of fixed to the boat or whatever. This one you can actually tie to a line and cast it out and check out for fish and water temperatures and depth and see what's on the bottom and where the holes are. And you use your phone or a tablet via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth as your screen. So you don't have to have a Hummingbird screen or whatever. And the one I ordered was the Pro Plus, so it also has a GPS built into it. So it you can also upload where you've been, and it'll save a map of the depth of the lake or whatever, wherever you've been. So I'm buying this not really to cast it out and use it that way. I found this is going to be a good use for my Nexus 7, my old 2011 Nexus 7. And there's a flexible arm you can order for it that lets you hang it off the side of your canoe or kayak. And I'm going to give it a try and start fishing with it. It's $230 on Amazon. I didn't buy that. I got one on eBay coming from China for way too cheap. But I actually did get a shipping number, so I don't feel like I've gotten ripped off yet. So I'm hoping it'll get here. There's a tracking number, and it moved in China, but that's my last. It's supposed to be here July 1st, which is 2 days from now. Yeah,
so the idea here is that you throw this out over the boat, it maps the bottom and also shows you schools of fish?
Yeah, it shows you the fish and everything a depth finder would do. Basically, this is a fish finder for the guy on the bank. You know,
because you can throw it out.
Yeah,
there.
Or ice fishermen. It's good for ice fishing, too.
Does it float? Does it float?
Yes, it floats on top of the water.
So, hypothetically, you could have two fishing rods on the shore. One fishing rod you connect this to and just throw it out there, right?
Yeah.
And then the second fishing rod you use
for the catching of them. And they do sell a mount that you can mount the screen to your pole if you are.
Oh man, 3D print that thing, man. Oh sorry, that's cool. You can just 3D print it.
I'm gonna make a mount, maybe outdoor 3D print me a mount for my Nexus 7 on my canoe somewhere to keep it there in one spot. It does a little beep. You can have a fish alarm, so if a fish shows up in your screen, it'll give you an alarm so you don't have to stare at it all the time.
So the deeper app is supposed to go with specific hardware, but you bought cheaper hardware. Is that what you're telling me?
No, it's an official. It's a deeper Pro Plus is what I ordered.
So what did you get from China? The mount?
No, the deeper Pro Plus is coming from China.
Got it.
Supposedly. I got it on eBay, and I got it really cheap, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. Because these are actually like somewhere in Europe kind of company.
Yeah, they probably buy it from the same place.
Everything comes from China anyway, right?
All right. So, I'm not a fisherman. My granddad was, and he had one of those old hummingbird depth finders, and I never really knew. I didn't get it. I was 8.
Yeah.
I just knew that it was a thing he stared at and cursed at. I didn't really know what it did.
They've come a long way. I went out 2 weeks ago in my canoe on a Sunday. I left at 8:30 in the morning and didn't come back till 3:30 at night. And I went 4.5 miles one way and back, fishing on and off the whole way, and caught one fish. Now, after I get this thing installed, I should be able to catch more than one fish for that trip.
So you're assuming
the note.
You're assuming that your problem is that you can't find the fish.
I couldn't find it.
Not that you can't catch the fish.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll say a quick note. Eric lives nowhere by Flint, Michigan. He lives in Illinois. So
right. You know, the fish I can catch here, I would eat. No problem.
Yeah. Honestly, my dad is an avid fisherman, but old school fisherman. He says anybody with one of these things are cheating.
No, I am. There's not that many fish, though, where I go fishing. And unfortunately, it's the closest body of water. And that's, I would have to buy like trailers and stuff to get to other bodies of water. This is the only one I got. I know there's fish in there. I just don't know where they're at. Now I'm going to find out. Even if I just map the bottom for 8 miles of this canal, I'll know where the couple little dips are, you know, and that's where the fish hang out. At least I'll know where to go back to, even without this thing, once I get them all mapped out.
Right.
I'm excited to hear your results.
Yeah, I'll have to put the pictures up on my Instagram. Or
Instagram.
I don't have an Instagram or photograph app. So, you know.
All right, Dora, you were waving around what looked suspiciously like a laptop.
Because it is a laptop. I got in with the Pine Book, P-I-N-E-B-O-O-K. Pine 64 makes multiple mini computing boards like Raspberry Pi boards, and they made a laptop, 11-inch and 14-inch. I believe it was $79 and $89 for each one. I got the 14-inch model because I'm turning old and my eyes are getting bad, so I want bigger screen. I didn't realize I purchased the upgraded hard drive with it. The hard drive, of course, on these mini computers is not a hard drive. It is what's called a eMMC, which is basically like a single chip solid-state drive. And there's no soldering, which the old-school way was always a soldering. These days, they literally like snap into place. So the first thing I had to do when I got it in the house was they sent me the eMMC separately. So I had to pop the bottom off myself, pop off the old eMMC, put the new one on. So I got to see the inside of this thing. Huge physical battery, and a mini computer Raspberry Pi-like board in it. Bang for the buck is phenomenal. The case, of course, is plastic because it's, you know, $89. The hinge is decent on it. I really like the look of it. It's basically just flat white. They did ship stickers with it. So if you want stickers, you can put them on. Once my focus decides to come back into focus. The screen is decent, not fantastic, but again, for the price, really good. The keyboard works pretty good. Trackpad is decent. Both, of course, are plastic. Power button is up here, which I don't like. So when I hit shift delete, I often hit shift power. Came by default with Android installed on it. That's why I'm bringing it up in this show. It was very easy to install Linux on it. The Android on it was perfectly fine. Don't get me wrong, it's perfectly fine, but I wanted to first try Linux on it. Easy 6+ hours battery life with this thing. Built-in Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, 2 USB ports, micro SD card reader, headphone jack, and unfortunately, the barrel connector jack are the exact same size. So, of course, the first thing I did was I got the power connector, plugged it into the audio jack, and was wondering why it wasn't working. Well, because I was an idiot. That's why it wasn't working. I like the power brick because you can option to buy a USB cable on one end it's USB, on the other end it's power connector. So there's no actual power brick. So if you want to carry this thing around with you, you can just easily take this cable, wrap it up, put it in your pocket. I mean, how many other laptops can you hold the power brick in your pocket? You know what I mean? The only complaint, because there has to be something bad about this thing, is these are the worst speakers I've ever experienced on a device. They are just horrible speakers, but they have the headphone jack, plug the headphones in, or Bluetooth speaker into it, and it's just fine.
It has Bluetooth?
Bluetooth, I believe, 4.0 and 802.11bgn. So if you want to look at this, you got to go to pine64.org and then click on Pinebook, take a look.
That EMMC hard drive, that really reminds you of, isn't it like almost the same as a Wi-Fi card in a laptop, kind of the way it slides in?
Yeah, very, very, very close to that. And I'm going to probably put Android back on it after a couple weeks just to see how well that performs, but I expect most of the time when I can put Android or Linux on something, I get better Wi-Fi speeds with Android, just because I'm guessing the driver is more refined, if you will. So I'm going to put Android on it here in like a week or two, see how well that works. But for now, I'm enjoying the Linux on it. It's, of course, not ridiculously snappy, but I click something. I don't have to make a sandwich for it to load. I merely wait half a second or a second, and it loads. And when I'm browsing the web and everything works just fine, email just fine. I'm not using it as a consumption device. I'm literally using it to write things and email checking and IRCing and Mattermost chatting, stuff like that.
Dor, you made me think of something. Now, it had Android installed, and you put Linux on it. If somebody had an Android TV box, like these ones that Mark and I used to buy all the time, and what can we put Linux on that, do you think?
It's a question if the bootloader is open and available to do it. Most of the time, the answer is it's probably possible, but no one has sat down and figured out how to do it. So I'll say that. It's the kind of thing, like if you are ever thinking about do that, research it before you pick what to buy, because I'm sure there's some out there where you can do it. I've never seen it, though.
Okay. I haven't either. I just wondered. All right. Cool. Thanks.
All right. That's our hardware fix. We've already got our first app. So, Dor, why don't you go ahead and bring us an app, too?
Okay. Next app I'm going to bring is, it's called Skippy. S-K-I-P-P-Y. Like the American-based peanut butter. At least I think it's American-based peanut butter. It's called Skippy YouTube Turned Into Books, which, of course, it's not YouTube turned into books. What it is, think of it as a customized interface into YouTube where you're getting custom recommendations from them. This is by Plain Bagel, marked as education. 57 reviews, looks like a complete 5-star review. E for everyone, completely free to install, no ads. It does recognize the fact that I have YouTube Red. I don't see any ads, no in-app purchases. 4.8 is the actual score of the reviews. Updated June 7th, between 5,000 and 10,000 installs, version 1.0.8. When I'm bored looking at what YouTube surfaces to me, I find this a very nice app to go in and be introduced to new content.
So it says that it plays things faster. It says with Skippy, an ordinary 20-minute TED Talk only takes 3 minutes to watch. Is it speeding it up?
You can speed it up, or you can just literally page through the slides, because what it does is it takes every, for instance, TED Talk, and every sentence or two it has on a screen. So you can either go to the very first slide, hit play, and it will progress like a normal video, but beneath it, it will have text of all the words, which, to be honest, helps me a lot. When I read and hear stuff at the same time, it really sinks in. Or you can just hit the arrow on the side and just go through the text at your own pace.
So this is using like YouTube's closed captioning?
Exactly, yes.
Very cool. Now, does YouTube Red still work okay with this? Does it change that somehow?
I didn't see any ads on any of the videos that I watched, so I'm assuming it does recognize the fact that I have YouTube Red and, you know, I get the ads skipped.
See, I wish they would have came out with this a long time ago before my kids found their YouTubers that they like. and I could have just had this instead of a YouTube app, so they would only have content that was worth something.
Gotcha.
All right. I have no further commentary on this one, Eric.
All right. I could have swore that this app was brought by Door, but I did not see it in the list, so I'm going to bring it. And it is called Blue Mail Email Exchange. I got that new Nexus 5X, and I didn't really want to put Outlook on it. I wanted something other than the default email Gmail app. So and I needed Exchange, so I found Blue Mail, and it seems to work just fine for me. If somebody wants something a little different, a little more customizable, it's just something different.
So do you have to be able to like your company's Exchange has to be able to allow this, or can it use the web app for that? Do you know?
I don't know. We are on Office 365. I did probably still have to do the admin allow so they can wipe my phone or whatever. I don't know if it gets around that or not. I don't remember. Oh, now that you mentioned it, maybe it didn't. I don't know. I'm sorry, Mark. I'm not sure.
Does it include calendaring too?
I'm still using the Google calendar. I didn't change it. I think it said it did though.
Well, I'll say virtually every email app I've ever used, when you connect it to a AD or ActiveSync or Office 365, it wants to use your default calendaring app as its calendar. To me, I have very mixed feelings about that.
Yeah, I don't see a calendaring portion of it, actually.
I use an app, I've talked about it before, OWM Email, and it just grabs the public-facing Outlook webmail that my company provides, and formats that in a way that is handy for devices, but it's not actually a true Exchange experience. If this could do that, I'm certainly interested in trying it. Hmm. But calendaring is pretty important if you want to get to that, corporate calendar.
Well, if you want to go to meetings, yes. Some of us don't. Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud?
I'll give it a try.
Door, did you use Blue Mail before? I might have just been hallucinating.
Well, what I want to say was that we did bring this app, but it was a different name. Mm. I do believe the name slightly shifted. The main reason I'm saying that I think we did, because it's very first screen that I'm seeing, I swear I've seen before when I look at the screenshots of the app. And it has a very, and when you get into it, there's a way you can turn on like threaded conversations, if I remember correctly, which honestly I kind of liked, because what I hate is reading an email, and then when I want to read the chain, it's like read an email, skip all this text because it's useless. It's the farewell and the intro to the next email, and then read the email, and then skip, and then read, and then skip, and then read. And I, got bothered by that. This I thought had a fluid option to read the mails.
I like when you're going through your inbox, you scroll to the right, you get a snooze, done, and more, and then more just gives you every option you could possibly do with an email, like, forward all or reply all, forward all, the normal stuff, delete. But then if you slide it to the left, you can mark it as unread even though you read it. You can archive it or delete it right there just by sliding left to right. It's kind of handy that way.
Yeah, in the description, Mark, it says support for Office 365, Outlook, POP3, Plus Exchange, ActiveSync, and EWS. I know it. I thought it was OWA.
OWA, right.
I've never heard of EWS.
I'm not sure either.
Is this a pay to unlock thing? Or is it just completely free forever?
Completely free. No in-app purchases. No ads.
No.
I think
I've been paying a lot lately for things, so I thought I did pay, but maybe not.
Usually right up by the install button, it will say in-app purchases, and it doesn't say it. I keep wanting to say this was the one that was actually backed, started, owned, forked from Dropbox.
Mm, possible.
I could be absolutely wrong when I say that, though. Well, I mean, it's been on the Today Show, so it must be good, right?
Mm. Yeah, well, it must be.
Honestly, Eric, I might install this just to give it a whirl, just for a change of pace. I'm still using MailWise, and the main reason I'm using MailWise is it allows me to do the Exchange bypass, so I don't have to grant it any rights on my phone. which I like a lot, but I'm going to install this for my non-exchange stuff.
Does Matt Lauer use that one?
I'm not sure. I'm too busy looking at his head. He shaved.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly. Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say nothing. I can't say my head's any better looking, but where in the world is Matt Lauer?
Maybe he's in Iraq or Kuwait or one of those places.
All right, Dor, your turn.
Okay, debating. Oh, I'm going to bring this one. I got to bring this one first. Oh man, not family friendly whatsoever. Television show, Silicon Valley.
Oh yes.
Did a bit where the guy wanted to pitch a octopus recipe app, and his partner was like, "That is useless. That is stupid. We're not pitching that idea. They're not going to give us money to make that." So at the table during the pitch, he changed it to say it was an app that could identify food, seafood. Get it? Seafood, seafood. So he talked his then incubator into trying to create an app that can identify food by taking a picture of it. Well, they worked for something like 48 hours straight on code, and the only thing the app could identify was a hot dog. Nothing. And when it wasn't a hot dog, it just said not hot dog. So now there's an application on Android by Seafood Technologies, 254 reviews, E for everyone, not mature 17, free for everyone, completely free to install, no in-app ads, no purchases, called not hot dog. You simply load the app, point it at something, take a picture, it will tell you hot dog or not hot dog, and then it will ask you, do you want to share the picture or discard it?
Man, it's about time.
I know. The app gets a 4.9 average reviews, updated June 23rd, between 100 and 500 installs, version 1.0. And if you are old enough to watch mature content, if you don't ever try to watch Silicon Valley, I encourage you to at least watch one or two episodes. Yeah.
I love that show. I really do. Mark, are you going to read Josh Bowen's review?
Oh, do I need to read a review?
Well, the reviews for this one are pretty good.
All right. I'm trying to get it. This app has profoundly impacted my life. A doctor told me to eat less hot dogs, and I'm very forgetful and need to remember what I'm eating. This app tells me if what I'm eating is or is not a hot dog. I can now stick to my low hot dog diet. Thank you, Seafood. You are my hero.
Thank you, Josh. Good luck.
Yes.
And installed. Thank you, Dor. I didn't realize this was out there already.
What? And I have no problem telling you, it works, because we always have three things in this house: eggs, bacon, and hot dogs. Well, four, cheese. We always have cheese because cheese is delicious. If you don't like, and my son to me, when I walked in the kitchen yesterday and he was picking the cheese off my cheeseburger, he said, "What do you expect me to do? Cheese is delicious." Well, I expect you not to eat the cheese off my hamburger. He said, "Well, look, if you don't like cheese, you're not human." So
does it? Does a hot dog have to be on a bun, or can it recognize a wiener?
No, I just took a picture of a hot dog on the plate, and it said hot dog.
What if you were to take a picture of a relative facsimile of a hot dog that wasn't exactly a hot dog, but maybe the same color and shape? Would it?
I do not know, and nor did I try what they tried to take a picture of it of during the show either.
What if you take a picture of a picture of a hot dog?
My guess is it would be completely
true. Try that during the show. Well, of course it wouldn't work, because everything tried during a show doesn't work.
Yeah.
So are you sharing your hot dog, Dor, or are you just discarding?
No. That's just discarding. And I'll just let people know, in the television show, the guy got mad at the guy, and he took the guy's phone, shoved it down his pants, and took a picture. And that result of that picture turned out to be a very bad
Dor's
thing
next
for one of the guy's job. Oh. No. Because then the guy's job, they found out the application could accidentally pick up on pictures that should be deleted from social networks. Because, you know, it's like the guy in the government who kept taking pictures of himself. Anthony Weiner. So they were like, the algorithm had the ability to identify them in pictures. So then the guy's job 24/7 was to just review the findings of the algorithm and say yes or no, was the algorithm right? So he said, this is like the worst job he ever had. He wants to be fired. He wants to he wants to sell this off to somebody else because this is the worst thing he's ever done in his life. All day, all he had to do was verify whether or not those pictures were correct.
Oh, man. Now
that's a dirty job. Yeah. Micro's got nothing on that.
Yeah. And it has a very short description. What else would you say if I told you there is an app on the market that can tell you if you have a hot dog or not a hot dog? It is very good, and I do not want to work on it anymore. You can hire someone else.
Nice. I like it.
All right. Yeah. So I missed a show, and I'm not entirely sure what mail you read or didn't read. Okay,
I can tell you mid-show, Mark, we did not read the Rory email. We did not read the Eric email, the Eric email, I believe. Okay. And I think that's it.
Okay. So I shall start with Patrick, who says, greetings, Eric, Mark, and Steve. First of all, I'd like to extend my thanks to all of you for an excellent podcast. Your service provides an amazing wealth of knowledge. I recommend this show to everyone I meet who has an interest in Android apps, and the thanks I get for these recommendations is a reflection of the great work you are doing. I've recently installed a new game from Noodle Cake Studios. I'm a big fan of them since Alto's Adventure, which is an app that your gang originally brought to my attention. The new game is called Flipping Legend. It's not like anything that I've ever played before, and I'm interested to hear your take on it. I find it extremely addictive and charming with its retro graphics, compelling gameplay, and great soundtrack. Cheers from BC, Canada, and enjoy the app, Patrick. Eric, you had a chance to play with that one. What do you think of Flipping Awesome?
Flipping Legend. It is. I'd agree with him on it's different than most games. It's kind of like an endless runner. Sort of, but it does stop. You have to move to the next. It's kind of like an Endless Runner and Q-Bert put together, because you move across squares at an angle, kind of like Q-Bert you did. And then you have to do battle, avoid spikes, collect coins. And every day they have challenges, which, first of all, you get to pick your person you use, your warrior or whatever, wizard and stuff like that. They all have different powers. But they have these challenges. Like today's challenge was to go 25 spaces without killing somebody. So basically, you have to avoid everybody else in the screen. You have to, move your way around them without running into them and doing battle with them. I didn't get real far into it. It seemed like a decent game that you could, sit down and play for quite a while. But I'm not that good at it. Did you play it, Dor?
I did just for a second, and I'm going to tell you right now. Every Noodle Cake game should come with a disclaimer of addiction. I did have a little bit of fun of this game. I'm not a fan of... I don't want to say endless running, because he's right. It's not really endless running, but it is running. It is ending running.
Yeah.
It's running that has an ending. I'm not a real fan of that. I'm not a huge fan of upgrade systems, only because of my self-conscious nature. I'm always questioning, did I make the right choice? Did I make the right choice? I'm not sure I made the right choice. I like when I just advance and it does the leveling for me. Yeah. It takes the stress out of the gameplay. But definitely fun. I showed it to my son for the next 2.5 hours. Didn't hear a peep from him. The next day he said, I'm pretty sure I crushed that game. I'm pretty sure I'm done with that, Dad. So
it does have a unique, thing where if you run all the way to one side of the screen, you pop out on the other side. So I guess it's Q-Bert, Pac-Man, and, an endless runner kind of.
Yeah. And I will say this does have in-app purchases and contain ads.
I can see how Patrick likes it and plays it a lot though. It would definitely keep your attention.
All right. I don't think I can install another Noodle Cake game. I don't think my career could handle that. So I'm going to pass on this one.
I'm still trying to uninstall BB Tan again. I don't know how that got back on my device, but it's ugly.
All right. There we go. I believe it's up to you now, Dor.
Okay. Next one I'm going to bring is one of those apps I feel compelled to bring, like I must bring, like it has to be mentioned, it has to be said. Firefox Focus. Okay, people are first off I think saying it wrong, and I believe their title even says this wrong. This is by Mozilla. Okay, it is called Firefox Focus the Privacy Browser by Mozilla. E for everyone. 4,707 reviews. No in-app purchases. No ads. 4.5 average reviews. Version 1.0. Between 100,000 and 500,000 installs, updated June 19th. Okay, people need to understand the definitions of words. This is not a privacy browser. This browser has nothing to do with privacy. The word is anonymity. Thank you. That's all this browser gives you, is a touch of that. And it does give you a little bit of security. The reason it gives you a touch of security is at full times when you're in the browser, when you can see the menu bar at the top, there's a trash can on the bottom right. So if you think I click something and it might turn out to be a malicious website, you just click that trash can real quick. It immediately closes that web page, deletes your cookies, deletes your cache, deletes everything. So that's one of the features I like about this browser. There is no privacy in this browser. It is unbelievably, I cannot believe they actually used the word privacy. They should have said privacy focused browser or enhanced, you know, something to that effect, but not the privacy browser, because they don't understand the definition of the word privacy is what I'm guessing.
Well, I got a question. So Firefox Focus, the privacy browser, and if you go to the regular Firefox, it's called Firefox Browser Fast and Private. So is this browser just slower than regular Firefox?
No, this has the trash can button there upon exit, or in your notification shade at any time you can click the button and delete all your history.
So
there's no way in the normal Firefox I know of to delete your history that quickly and
easily. So in this one you never have to go into like an incognito menu or browser or something if you wanted to go private, I guess. It just automatically is.
It's like it's a morning after pill.
Okay.
Melts your phone. It's fine.
This is more like full-time private mode browsing.
Okay.
There is no not private mode. Also, it has a built-in ad blocker, which I know I saw ads, but I do believe I saw less ads, so I don't know how that works. Honestly, I just like the security feature of if you're loading a page and you think it's malicious, you can just click the trash can. Just like having that panic button built into the browser. That alone, once I figured that out in the browser, made me make it my default and leave it on my system. And here's the other reason why I really do like this browser. I despise every website in the frigging universe, because they all do it except for podnos.com that I know of. Every frigging website insists on giving you every URL in their system with stupid tags and stuff after the URL so they can get credit for stuff. Mm. For instance, never click an Amazon link anywhere, okay? Mm. Because every time you click one, it resets your affiliate cookie and you could be giving money to people and not even knowing it, okay? I think that's extremely underhanded and extremely dirty. Because if you ever look back at any of the Podnuts links, whenever we link to Amazon stuff, we never inserted our affiliate link. Because if you wanted to donate to us, you would go to directly and purposefully get that cookie in your browser. And everybody else does it as a de facto standard every time they do a link. And it really does make me unbelievably upset. So I load my links by default in this browser. And when it's an Amazon link, I see all the garbage after the URL. I see their tag in there where they're getting their affiliate cookie in that browser. I then copy the description of the item, delete the cache in the history of that Focus browser. Then I load up Chrome or something else, go to Amazon by hand, paste the description of the item, and I go buy it that way. So I am doing everything in my power to not give those, to me, malicious people, sneaky people, any extra affiliate money. I give people I want affiliate money and not just random people posting things. Mini rant done.
No, that's good. All right. Good point. A lot of people don't realize that stuff. But Mozilla believes everyone should have control over their own lives online, and that's what they've been fighting for since 1998.
So says, I guess, the description. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I really do like Mozilla. I like virtually everything they do. Are they not the best company in the world? Not even close. Okay. Nobody's the best company in the world. They all suck. They're companies. That's what they do. But I do think they try a little bit better, a little bit harder than a lot of other companies. And most of their products that have been out there, whether it be Thunderbird, SeaMonkey, Firefox, FileZilla, whatever, I like and use them all.
I'm glad they're still around and at least having a little bit of innovation out there for other people to keep up with.
All right. So we have reached that time. It's time to empty the tank.
Empty the tank. All right. Well, I've got another app that is, so I brought an Outlook app that wasn't Outlook.com or Outlook app. This is a Facebook app. So along with the new phone comes new experiences. Well, I've got a job, and my job in part is to take care of a couple Facebook pages for the government. And I don't care at all for a Facebook app because I think it slows down your phone. I would never have one if I didn't have to do it as part of my job. But I didn't. So I heard about this Facebook Lite thing. So I go to install it. And, not available in your country, because they know that Americans must have speedy enough phones that their extra megabytes of RAM are just isn't important. On my 2 gigs of RAM phone, it is important. It slows it down. So I found this app called Friendly for Facebook. And it's basically, I think, a skin over Facebook Mobile, I'm guessing. But it does say that it uses Facebook Lite. But basically, it gives you most of the features that you're going to find in a regular Facebook app without the bloat. And I did pay up for the premium. So just so I could change the ugly blue color of Facebook, to whatever color I wanted. That was kind of a neat feature. So I don't have to look at blue every time I'm on Facebook. People don't have to know I'm on Facebook when they look at my phone from over there.
Yeah, so I independently found this just this week as well, Eric. I used to use an app called Swipe, SWIPE.
Yes. Yes, I did.
And
it went away.
Stopped working. And then when I went to see what the deal was, it was no longer in the Play Store. So whatever trick they were using no longer works.
Yeah.
And so I went looking for this one. And yeah, and I use it. I use it for a couple of reasons. There are a few people in my life, mostly older family members, I'll leave it at that, who only know how to communicate through Facebook. And you cannot use Facebook Message on the mobile web. So what I was having to set my browser to desktop emulation, and it was just not a good experience. So I've been looking for a way to use Facebook Messenger on my phone without installing the craptastic Facebook app. And so Swipe was what I was doing, and now Friendly. And I like it. It is Facebook. I like the fact that it remembers the setting for most recent, which Facebook never likes to do. It always likes me to show me, I forget their term for it. It's not ever anything I want to see. I want to see them in the order they were posted. And this app remembers that. And so I've actually come to enjoy my Facebooking better on this than on the desktop. And I'm not a huge Facebook user, but I do lurk quite a lot.
Yeah.
So.
I don't ever want to see chat heads on my phone ever.
Right.
And the one thing this is missing that I think Swipe had was, I used to have a link to go to Marketplace, which is basically like the spring cleaning and buy sell exchanges for my county, where people are selling stuff, sort of a Facebook version of Craigslist that at first was really janky, but has actually come along to be a viable place to sell and buy things. This does not have the direct link to just all of them that I used to have before. But that's about the only thing I'm missing.
All right.
Well, the only thing that makes me nervous, I'll say, is so you got to basically put your Facebook credentials into an app not owned by Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, if you care about your I don't care about my Facebook credentials personally. If it gets hacked, whoa.
Well,
I don't care.
I'm going to ask you these two questions, and I'm going to encourage you to not answer them on the show, which is, I'm really hoping that user ID and that password are nothing like anything used anywhere else, number one.
Okay.
I also hope that the email account connected with that account is a very non-critical email account in the infrastructure where that domain exists. And then let's talk about something else because it scares the hell out of me. I hate Facebook. I despise Facebook. I really, given the chance, I'm pretty sure I'd knee Zuck right in the crotch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually almost tempted to install this. I'm not going to lie. After saying what I said, I'm tempted to install this because that's one of the reasons I can't stand Facebook is I know it's only, even if I never launch the damn thing, it's only going to hurt the battery life on my phone.
I wouldn't knee Zuck in the nuts. I'd give him an attaboy for, you know, these old people are on devices now because of this. They wouldn't be doing this if it was just Google Plus out there.
And that's the reason why I will not be active. I do not want to be active in Facebook. The number one growing user base in Facebook over the last 2 years are over 55 years old.
Sure. This is the new AOL.
You got mail.
I never post anything. I never like anything. I never accept a friend request.
Then what the hell do you have to do?
I have to work. That's my job.
You have to post stuff, right? You're posting stuff, right?
I post stuff to those two pages. Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No food, no cats, I did this weekend. How cool am I? None of that.
No cats.
Yeah, I said to a coworker of mine recently, did you know that some people eat whole meals without taking pictures of them? Anything else in your tank, Eric?
Oh, I got one more. Since we're talking about, the missing part of that last app and other apps, another thing we just talked about, apps that suddenly go away, like every good Craigslist checking app that was ever existing that I have brought to the show is now gone. This one has stepped up and kind of tried to replace the good ones that are gone. And I have been emailing back and forth with one of the developers, and he's still beside himself. He cannot figure out what he did wrong. It wasn't so much Craigslist. It was the Play Store that's got him kicked out. But this is called The Craigslist Checker by Delved Apps, or Delved. And it'll search multiple areas at once. Some of the other ones I used to use would save your searches, so you could go back and quickly search again, you know. That's all it does, though. It's got like a slider bar along the side, so I'll like pick Chicago, Illinois, and Rockford, Illinois, and Peoria, Illinois. It's got a little slider bar so I can go through those. Like if I type in the word canoe, it'll show me every canoe for sale in those three areas. I just slide down and go through them. And that's about it. I don't use it for anything other than, you know, shopping for things I should be buying at a more expensive place, but I like Craigslist.
All right. I have taken to just using the Craigslist mobile website, which sucks. But you know, it's good enough most of the time. I set searches and it sends me emails and that's how I do it. But sure, this looks fine.
you what? You set searches and it sends you emails?
I set searches on your Craigslist, right? You can say, you know, send, it'll email you things that meet certain criteria. So Craigslist comes to me. I don't use
You can save a search on the Craigslist mobile app?
Well, just on the website.
Oh, on the website.
Go to Craigslist.com. You save a search. So I just do Craigslist.com on my phone when I need to use that. But yeah, I say I'm looking for a couch. I put, you know, where I'm looking for and I put sofa, and then everything that comes up with the word sofa in it comes to an email. And depending on what it is, I might get 15 emails a day. I might get one email every other week.
Can you search more than one area at a time?
I haven't tried, but I don't know why you couldn't.
Well, I think that it was always
just be multiple searches.
The limitation was that. Can you?
It would.
Oh, go ahead.
You would just have to save multiple searches, probably.
Now, can you search for dining room chairs?
Yes, I can. Okay. And have.
Oh, okay. That's my tank, man. Door.
Okay. Since you mentioned cats, I got to bring cat stuff because you know they're cats.
I'm sorry. Who mentioned cats?
Eric.
I'm not sending pictures of cats to my friendly account.
Ah, okay. There you go.
Yeah. So since he mentioned it, I'm going to bring Super Cat Brothers by FDG Entertainment GmbH, which I will say correctly is a German business thing, not a British. It's a German-British thing.
German-British thing.
German-British. Yeah, sure. 49,000 reviews, does contain ads, does have in-app purchases, E for everyone, free to install, 4.8 average reviews, updated March 10th, 2017, 500,000 and 1 million installs, version 1.0.13. This is basically a game where you're a little cute cat. You can switch between different cats. Different cats have different powers. You can climb walls because you're a cat. You can jump. Bigger cats can like break through boulders, all kinds of different cats. I'm going to tell you right now, retro, quote unquote, goodness. And I did get this from the Vsauce channel. I believe it was Vsauce 2, which is a YouTube channel, which I do encourage people to at least check out. They have a reoccurring show once about a month called App All Night, K-N-I-G-H-T, App All Night, where it's just Android apps on it. And I got this from that. And it's even family friendly to the degree the monkeys throw stuff at you. They throw baseballs at you and not what everyone expects monkeys to throw at you.
Is it always a platformer? Because the one screenshot shows almost a Zelda-ish look screen where there's like a lake with somebody's fishing and trees and stuff.
That's the overworld. That's when you're going map. From stage to stage to stage. This is almost like Super Mario Brothers 3, where the overworld is a top-down, perspective where you pick what level you want to do. Then it goes into side platforming. This was fun. I'm going to say it. This was a lot of fun. This was the other game where I gave my son, he was actually really happy with it. Because first he was like, look at the cats, they're so cute. You killed my cat! You know, and he got like upset. But good game.
All right.
Next one I'm going to mention is another one of those. This is more privacy focused, I'm going to say, to a degree, than the Firefox Focus. Firefox Focus, again, was about anonymity. Say it again.
Anonymity.
That. This one is a little bit different. This is called a Start Page. The two apps I would encourage people to check out if you want to look at this, one is called DuckDuckGo, which if you haven't heard of and you're on a show with me, I will kick you off and you will never be on any show ever again. Because I was listening to a show and somebody said DuckDuckGo and one of the hosts of the show said, what's that?
How could you be on the internet this long and never hear of?
Because they don't actually use a computer or the internet, basically, is the thing. They don't. They don't. They don't. They take selfies or pictures and that's it. Start Page is a privacy-focused search engine. The first time you launch it is the third screenshot. It says, welcome to the world's most private web search app on Android, which that, of course, is debatable. But it says the Start Page privacy advantage. All searches are over HTTPS, which means they're secured over the network. We do not record your visit or your searches. We never tell websites what you are searching for. So like those reference links, like when you click a link, there's not a whole bunch of junk behind it saying where the link came from, what the person was searching for, you know, any information like that. It also says that your searches are invisible to your mobile carrier and your phone manufacturer. I like this a lot. It's still not my full time because it's very hard to replace the other than search functionality you get with Google. Like, what was the question I asked? I asked, what were the characters' names in the movie Cloak and Dagger? Because I couldn't remember Jack Flack's name. I knew his name was Flack, but I couldn't remember anything else. So, and I could do that with Google. I can't do that with Start Page. But when I want to do generic searching, I'm using Start Page, this app, now most of the time, and I'm very satisfied with the results. They seem fine. They don't seem fantastic. They don't seem horrible.
Sometimes it's nice to get a second opinion. You know, years ago, I had a customer back when browser hijacks were the thing and people were installing toolbars everywhere, you know, accidentally. I went to his house and his homepage was called Start Page. And back then, they all sounded like that. That sounded like it was a browser hijack. You know what I mean? His search engine got changed to Start Page instead of Google or Yahoo, you know? So I swore that it had to be something nefarious, and he tried to explain to me, no, this is what I really want. Like, oh, okay.
Gotcha. Right. Yeah, it's definitely a good little app. Does what it's supposed to do fine, is what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say fantastic or great or insane, but does it perfectly fine. Two quick other mentions. One is Sega is on a crusade, I'll just say. Nintendo Switch, there it got mentioned, is literally, Eric, please don't comment on this. They're literally destroying everything when it comes to games. Every game manufacturer are tripping over themselves, trying to make games for the Switch as fast as possible. They're still selling phenomenal numbers all over the world. They're expecting to sell over 13 million in the first year that they're released. They're able to keep them on shelves now for at least a little bit. They're not sold in minutes and seconds, but some stores are able to keep a hold of them for a couple days, but they're still selling like crazy. When Mario comes out, it's going to sell again like crazy, kind of thing. So other game companies are trying to do other stuff to keep their name relevant. Sega approached RetroArch. If you listen to this network, if you listen to a couple shows, at least I've been on, you've heard the words RetroArch before. RetroArch is technically LibreArch. LibreArch are the makers of RetroPie and other emulation software. And they use RetroArch and they use Emulation Station to give it a cozy feeling between all the emulators. And Sega approached RetroArch for a deal to use their engine to emulate the games. That is a huge indicator to me that RetroArch is doing phenomenally well. RetroArch had to decline the deal because they would have lost some of their ownership of the emulator. So they said no. Thus, I'm not shocked, some of the games that they are coming out with on Android, people are complaining about the emulation and saying, you know, either it's a little bit jagged, it's a little bit laggy, the sound isn't completely synced, little issues like this here and there. I'm sure it's the kind of thing that they're going to fix, but I don't know how long. So the two games I just want to talk about real quick, one of them is called Comics Zone, C-O-M-I-X Zone. Sega, E for everyone, 4,100 reviews, does have ads, does have in-app purchases, 4.5 average reviews, updated June 22nd between 100,000 and 500,000 installs, current version 1.0.2. I first saw this on Cinemassacre's channel on YouTube. To me, this was a very interesting game, and the only thing they complained about was, it ain't easy. It is hard. You're basically battling your way through the panels of comic books, and you have to fight the enemies that are in each panel and work your way through all the panels to get through the comic book.
Wow.
Sometimes there's secret exits out of a panel. Very ingenuitive game is what I'm going to say. Definitely caught my eye. So when I saw this, I had to download it and try it a little bit. And yeah, it's hard. It is definitely
hard. That's a cool looking game.
Yeah, to me, it was just the kind of game, when I saw it, I immediately said, I think I got to have that, okay. The next one that I have not downloaded, probably will not download, probably will never download, is definitely more popular, though, and that is Crazy Taxi Classic. This was a huge hit, I believe, on PlayStation 1, maybe? Again, 25,000 reviews, contains ads and in-app purchases. 4.2 average reviews, updated May 24th, installs 1 million and 5 million, version 2.0. This is the classic game, I'm going to say, where you basically have to run around, pick up customers, and deliver them to their place as quick as possible, which also typically means in as dangerous fashion as possible as well.
It's a Dreamcast.
This game goes all the way back to, the Dreamcast.
I did not know that. Well, it kind of looks like it, is what I want to say.
I remember renting that. Yeah. Back when you did that.
Yeah.
I went to the video store and rented Crazy Taxi for my Dreamcast.
I went and rented the Dreamcast and this game, probably. Both.
Cool stuff.
Gotcha.
Is that it, Dor?
Yeah. I was watching the video. I got hooked watching the video. I'm not going to download this game. I'm not going to play this game. I'm not a huge fan of this game. But it was definitely a little bit entertaining to at least watch if someone else is playing it. Click, click, bang. I didn't get a chance to look at that one. The one I'm going to bring here is a music player. Man, I want to say Andrew on Twitter. I believe it was Andrew on Twitter. Sorry, Andrew, if I got your name wrong. Ask me what music player to use when you're sick and tired of your music player scanning your entire SD card and bringing in stuff that's not what you're looking for. I just want to be able to point it at a single folder and click random or play or whatever and just have it play that folder. And of course, because it's Twitter, he didn't say all that because it's only 140 characters, which is why if I met the guy who invented Twitter, I'd probably need him too. So he and I looked for weeks, at least 2 or 3 weeks off and on, and he came back and he said this was the one he found that he liked. It's called Shuttle Plus Music Player. Simple City is the creator of it. 9,599 reviews, E for everyone, 99 cents to buy, no in-app purchases, no ads, 4.5 average reviews, version 1.6.6, updated April 17th, 2017, and has between 100,000 and 500,000 installs. He liked it because he said it was very simple, very light, very quick, and you could just point it at one folder and it would just play that one folder. So I'll say this, I think it looks good. I'm never, as for my foreseeable future, for the rest of my life, I'm never again going to copy music to anything and click play again for the rest of my life. I'm just going to stream everything. And when I'm out of network, I'm going to hum to myself is what I'm doing.
You know, one of the reviewers in this didn't like it because it doesn't have gapless play. And that reminds me, I downloaded the new Roger Waters album. And that is definitely, you know, like a lot of the Pink Floyd ones were, because he was the singer of Pink Floyd. A lot of those, gapless is a necessity in that kind of music, because it's the whole album is like one story and all the songs do flow right into each other with a drum beat. You know, there's no fade out at the end of any of the songs. It just keeps going.
Unless you can control your narcolepsy, then it's perfectly acceptable.
I'm sure that's a reference to something I didn't get.
Yeah.
No, it's just if you have narcolepsy that you can control, when the song's getting ready to end, you can just black out for a second and then wake up. And then it will appear like there was no pause at all.
Just fade to black real quick and fade back out.
So before we say goodnight, I want to read one last email, which is also an app. This is a listener to the show who's also an app developer. You got to like that. His name is Rory. He says, hi there. Put together an app that I think will be really handy for people who like podcasts. And it's called Unrely Alarm. That doesn't sound good. Wake up to podcasts, probably. And so I like this, only I prefer to wake up to music rather than podcast, because it might be a little jarring to wake up to a podcast playing at 3x speed.
You might be able to wake up to music with us, maybe.
Maybe. It's
maybe.
I don't know that I would trust it, but hey, did you guys, either of you try it?
I did. Or did you?
Well, it does say it can do music application.
To reveal a little part of me, the dark part of me, sometimes I just don't want to wake up. I'm perfectly content being asleep. So I don't want to ever have an alarm clock of any kind. My wife telling me to get up for work is enough. And I love her, so I can't be mad at her for doing it. If I have an alarm clock going off, oh, I can be mad at it.
Well, I got to thank Rory for letting us know about his app.
Well, it's not him. He did not send this. This is some blanket email from some service called appz.ie that he sent to every podcast in the world, because there was no personalization. There was no, hey, Dor, hey, Mark.
Okay, I'll finish with that. Thank you, Rory, for sending us this app that you made. It totally lives up to its expectations. I tried it once. I used it. I set an alarm, and it did not go off when it was supposed to. So it's totally unrely alarm. It's not reliable, and it doesn't work.
Right, and I'll say, if you, the listener, want to try this, we do have at least one other code, because you got to have a code to get in. Just shoot me an email. I'll shoot you a code.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. So you got two.
I thought you asked us like a month ago, Mark, about a alarm.
Well, my problem
it was Pandora.
Yeah, Pandora changed the way they do things so that now you can't just launch the app. You have to launch the app and push play. But unreliable, that's a bad thing. I need reliable.
Okay, yeah, because for some reason, when I heard this, I thought that was what you wanted, so I was completely wrong.
Yeah, the app I have does that, and I really like it. I just I can't find a music app that starts playing automatically. Can't find is not the right. I haven't tried very hard, but Pandora and Google Play, the two that I already have on my phone, you have to launch the app and then push play. So
yeah,
Pandora used to just start. It doesn't anymore.
There's got to be a way around that. This has to be.
All right, so let me review our bevy of links tonight. Deeper Smart Sonar by Deeper UAB. Skippy YouTube Turned into Books by Plain Bagel. Blue Mail Exchange by Blue Mail Inc. Not Hot Dog by Page Won't Load. Moving on. Flipping Legend by Noodle Cake Studios. Firefox Focus by Mozilla. Friendly by... page not loading, moving on. The Craigslist Checker by Delved Apps. Super Cat Brothers by FDG Entertainment. Start Page Private Search by Start Page BV. Sega Forever. Well, that's not really an app, it's a web page. Comic Zone by Sega. Crazy Taxi by Sega. Shuttle Plus Music Player by Simple City. And Unrely Alarm by Rory Glynn. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 apps. When we miss a week, we make up for it, people.
Yeah, and even though it might take us 15 minutes or whatever to get started on the apps, we still clearly bring more apps than any other show in the market. So you might think in the beginning, wow, that's a lot of fluff. All the other shows are nothing but fluff and ads and incessant, repetitive, non-heartless ads. I mean, totally heartless ads where they actually don't care about the product. And they occasionally lie to you because, you know, that's what ads do. Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Sure, that's okay. We've brought over 4,400 apps to our listeners.
I like that a lot.
Alrighty. Dor, any final words of wisdom for our listeners?
Well, first off, only if you can afford it, if you want to support me, Mark, and Eric as individuals and this show combined, Wonder Twin Powers Activate, you can go to patreon.com/AndroidAppAddict. Give us a little tip there. It will go directly to us. I want to thank everyone who is supporting us already, and I want to thank everyone for their continued support. I also want to say Sean Johnson, longtime host of this show, and I consider a really good friend up there in Buffalo, where he gets crazy amounts of snow, except for this year. He has a new podcast called The Horrified Chicken. And if you remember him, he was not a fan of horror movies. And his wife was an extreme fan of horror movies. And she even makes her day job is basically making artwork and selling it at Monster Mealyland. He and her, she convinced him, let's watch a horror movie together, and then we'll do a podcast talking about it. I'm not a fan of horror movies whatsoever. I'm hooked on that podcast only because of the back and forth they have on that show. It's painfully obvious they're having fun. They definitely, at least once an episode, poke at each other. And, you know, little things sometimes happen where somebody says something about one of their kids, and the other one's like, I know, don't you hate when he does that? You know, there's like little things where it's like opening up the door, and it's literally like hanging out with a couple friends talking about a movie that they watched. It's over at horrifiedchicken.com, I believe, or horrorchicken.com. Now, whatever. You search for it, you'll find it, you'll listen, you'll know what it is. It's good stuff. And I thank Eric and Mark for their extreme patience and continuing to stick it out with me on this show.
All right, Eric, your final sign-off for the evening.
I want to thank our friends up at Patreon, and I don't know what else is there to say. We've said a lot today, Mark. I don't know if I've got anything left.
So I will simply encourage you, if you like it, pay for it, whatever that thing may be. And we'll see you next time on Android App Addicts.
Hey, this is Martin Abando from Geeksters on the Podnuts Network. Thank you so much for listening to the show right now and supporting the Podnuts Network. We can't do it without you. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, something that tickles your fancy you want to ask us about, you can reach out to us at geeksters@podnuts.com. You can always listen to us. We're going to be here all the time trying to figure out what's going on with the world of computers. Hey, don't forget to be grunted out there. Thanks, guys.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.